Good evening, church. If you've got your Bibles with you tonight, if you want to go ahead and turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, over in verse 58. It's chapter 15, verse 58 of 1 Corinthians. And while you're turning there, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to meet once again on this Sunday night, Lord. I pray that the word be spoken clearly tonight, Lord, and that it be an encouragement to us as we labor for you and the Lord. Lord, I pray that only your words are heard, and I ask that your will is done in the service. In your name we pray. Amen. William Carey was known as the father of modern missions, and he left his home of England in 1793. Carey felt deeply called to bring the gospel to India, where the majority of people had never heard of the name of Jesus. The idea of foreign missions was a radical thing at the time. There were even some church leaders who had told him, if God wants to save the heathen, well, he'll do it without your help. Now, Carey didn't see a single convert in the first 7 years of his ministry. During that time, he lost his son, his wife had suffered from a mental breakdown, and eventually he would lose his wife as well. He endured poverty, language barriers, and cultural resistance. In that time, he also worked tirelessly translating the scriptures, and at times it felt like there was no tangible results that came from that. To many, those years of William Carey's life seemed to be a waste. His efforts appeared futile. His labor seemed to be in vain. I can plod. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything. This was one of Carey's most famous lines, and it summed up his ministry to the people in India. He didn't quit. He was steadfast. He was immovable. He was always abounding in the work of the Lord. But why? It's because he believed that the gospel was true, that Christ had indeed risen from the dead. And because of this, he knew that his efforts were not in vain. Carey kept going. I can plod. Plodding isn't fast. Plodding isn't glamorous. But it is persistent and it's faithful. Again, after his seventh year of trying to reach these people, Carey finally saw his first convert. And eventually, he would go on to, his Bible translation would go on to reach more than 30 languages, and it would open up God's Word up to millions of people in South Asia. It would also be an inspiration to countless numbers of future missionaries when he founded the Baptist Missionary Society in 1792. In those first 7 years, it would have been very easy for William Carey to give up. Nobody would have faulted him for this, especially with all that he had suffered. But he never quit. He kept plodding along. And God was glorified in his faithfulness to just keep going. His efforts were not in vain. Tonight, as we look at our text, William Carey's life here was a very good example of what we're about to see. Never giving up in his efforts in serving the Lord. Understanding that the gospel indeed is true, that Christ indeed has risen from the dead. Even when life got tough, he just kept plodding. Let me remind you of something tonight before we get into the main part of the message. The resurrection is true. The resurrection is true, and Jesus Christ is alive. And because of this, We must be steadfast and immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, until Christ returns or he calls us home. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So let me outline the message tonight in just three quick points. Number one, Christ has conquered. Number two, be steadfast in service. And number three, your efforts are eternal. At the beginning of our verse tonight, we're going to see that word we see all too often, the word therefore. And when the word therefore is there, we have to know what is therefore, therefore. This will also help us gain a better understanding for the context of 1 Corinthians 58. We're coming in at verse 58, which means there were 57 verses before this that we need to understand, and we're going to briefly fly over that. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is reminding the Corinthian church of the resurrection. Paul begins the chapter saying that he delivers this message to them as of first importance. In other words, Paul's saying, this is the most important thing that I'm going to tell you. He goes on to explain that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and rose again on the third day. Paul lets them know that Christ has appeared to the apostles after the resurrection, and they were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just like they were telling something that someone else told them. No, they themselves had seen the risen Savior. Peter, the rest of the 12, among 500 others, Christ had even appeared to Paul himself as well. Paul was really hammering this down because there were some in the church that were denying the resurrection. He then goes on to explain that if the resurrection didn't happen, then his preaching would be in vain, that our faith would be totally useless. You see, everything is meaningless if the resurrection of Christ did not happen. The gospel falls apart without it. Without the resurrection, our faith is futile, and we remain dead in our sins without any hope of salvation. Paul goes as far as to say that we are the most to be pitied if Christ had not risen from the grave. Paul goes on in verse 20, and he adamantly makes it clear, saying, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The pinnacle of this chapter is found in verses 55 and 57, where we see Paul, he's quoting Hosea, and he's saying, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is making it crystal clear that the resurrection indeed is true. Christ is alive. He is alive right now, today, seated at the right hand of the Father. But for those who were doubting it, if Christ were still in the grave, our efforts are wasted. Preaching tonight is wasted. Our worship this morning, wasted. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Again, we are the most to be pitied if it has not. But Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. You see, the gospel, the resurrection is like the linchpin to the gospel. I'm sure there are a few here tonight that have maybe own a truck or have at one time, and they've perhaps pulled a trailer before. We all know that there's this little pin that holds everything together. And if you were to be driving down the road, pulling a heavy load on this trailer, and that pin were to come out, you would be in for a world of trouble. See, it's the same with the gospel, that if the resurrection did not happen, if Christ were still laying in the grave right now, the gospel falls apart. If Christ had not been raised, then he is still in the grave. If he's still in the grave, that means that he wasn't the sinless Son of God. Christ wasn't the sinless Son of God, and his death on the cross, it means nothing, because we needed a perfect sacrifice on our behalf. But again, as Paul said, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. So before we move on, as a first point of application, we simply need to remember that the resurrection is true. This may seem simple. This may seem like a no-brainer, but we can't skip over this because this is the key to the message tonight. This is where most of our problems in our Christian life come from. When we forget the gospel, when we forget that the resurrection indeed has happened. Tonight we must remember the resurrection. So now that we've made it all of one word into our verse tonight, let's move on. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:58 one more time. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So now we can read this verse with a little bit of greater understanding. Therefore, or because the gospel is true, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Our ability and motivation in our work for the Lord is only found in the hope of the gospel. Paul then gives this call to be steadfast, meaning that we should be unshakable, we should be unwavering. We shouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine. Those who are steadfast are not moved by their circumstances, as that so easily happens. Paul also calls the Christian to be immovable. And Paul uses similar language over in Colossians 1, 22 through 23. And he says this, "And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast," listen here, "not shifting from the hope of the gospel." To be immovable is to not shift from the hope of the gospel. Even when circumstances are very, very hard. It's easy when you're on the mountaintop to believe the gospel and when things are going right, but when things get hard, that's when we tend to look to the left or look to the right. We're always going to be tempted to put our hope in other things like money or fame or success or pleasure or our spouse, or our children. Don't move on from the hope of the gospel, but abound in the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord means do a lot of it. Let nothing stop you from serving your Savior and King for His glory. But what exactly is the work of the Lord? You know, some may say that the work of the Lord is just for the preacher, or maybe for the missionary, or a Christian school teacher, perhaps. But that could not be further from the truth. Indeed, the preacher, the pastor, the missionary, they all do work for the Lord and abound in the work of the Lord. But we are all called to partake in the work of the Lord. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. That, my friend, is the work of the Lord. Again, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, just a few chapters before. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever we do, we do it for the glory of God. And that is the work of the Lord. This includes all that we do. If, as Christians, if there is something that we are not, that we are doing that is not bringing glory to the Lord, that's probably an indication that we shouldn't be doing whatever that is. I think if we could ask ourselves daily before we do anything that we do, will this glorify the Lord? And if the answer is yes, do it. But if the answer is no, that's an easy, don't do it. This could be something as simple as changing a diaper, whether that's at home, whether that's in the nursery. This could be as you work your job each day to provide for your family. This could be as you care for an aging parent or relative. This could be as you love your spouse like Christ loves the church. It could be as you witness to a coworker, or as you do your work with integrity when no one's looking. Maybe it's as you're sowing bears. Perhaps it could be as you're praying for the children and the families in our church. It could be as you're volunteering at VBS, or maybe on the security team or the hospitality team. It may be as you teach Sunday school or in Preacher Pals or in our youth classes on Sunday night. It may simply be you being a faithful parent and telling your children about who Jesus is. It may be picking up the house after a long day's work when you're tired and you don't feel like it, but your living room is dirty and your kids have brought all their toys out and you're ready to just go to bed, but you know that in picking up these toys and taking care of my house and taking care of my kids, while, don't get me wrong, me and Ashley talk all the time about how our efforts feel like they're in vain when we clean the living room, because we know in a few hours our kids are inevitably going to come back and mess it up again. That's the wrong attitude, because we are doing that for the glory of the Lord, and our efforts, even in something as simple as cleaning the house, is indeed for the glory of the Lord. All that to say, serving the Lord does inevitably come with hardships, which is why we must not shift our hope from the gospel. Again, when we lose sight of the gospel, that's when we decide to look left or to right and to put our hope in other things. We must be like a lighthouse in the middle of a blistering storm. Just as the lighthouse is getting beaten and torn by the storm, it still remains firmly planted on the shore, giving light to all of those who are in need. We too need to be firmly planted and unwavering. We need to be immovable when spiritual warfare comes. When fatigue or discouragement set in, whether it's rejection or mockery, there's seasons of fruitlessness or simply suffering for the sake of Christ, we are to remain steadfast and immovable, never quitting in the work of the Lord. Why? And you're going to hear this over and over, and I hope this, if there's one thing we take away, the reason why is, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. It's because of the resurrection. As our second point of application tonight, I just want to encourage you, don't stop. Don't shift your hope from the gospel. Keep working for the glory of the Lord, even when it seems like your work is in vain, even when it gets extremely difficult. The realities and the truth of the gospel should motivate us to keep going. Let's look again at 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Because Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, we are to be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our labor is not in vain. We are to abound in the work of the Lord because of the truth of the resurrection, but we also know that our labor is not in vain. This word knowing is very important to understand here. This summer, me and my kids have been swimming a lot. And I know those with small children or have raised kids, one kind of milestone in your life is learning how to swim. So we've been taking our kids up to Camp Caleb on the weekends sometimes whenever their campers aren't there. And I've gotten permission, and we go to the pool. We'll swim around in the shallow end for a little bit. But then there comes a point where we'll go down to the deep end of the pool, and I will have the kids jump to me. I'll let them go under the water, and then I'll pull them up out of the water. Now, it did take some time for Lily and Grayson both to contemplate whether or not that they should trust me. They were afraid, but after some time, they eventually understood that I was not going to let anything happen to them. Indeed, I would catch them every time, and they had nothing to worry about. They now jump knowing that Daddy is going to catch them. They jump because they know that they are safe and I'm with them. And this is the same way that it's the word knowing is used here in the text. We're to abound in the work of the Lord knowing, or because we know that our labor is not in vain. But why is it that our labor is not in vain? I mean, are there not times that we definitely feel as if that's the case? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but has anyone had the privilege of teaching one of our younger classes here at the church? In VBS, maybe Preacher Pals, Sunday night. I'm talking about the 3- and 4-year-olds. I say that knowing that I have had quite a few of them in the last few years of my life. There are some days where you're like, man, these kids, they really get it. They're listening. We talk after class and they can remember. You know, God is really working in their little hearts. And then there are those other days where you struggle just to get everyone to stay seated. You've got two over here who are fighting over a toy that they might have smuggled in under their jacket or in their pocket. You've got another one over here who's poured a bag of Doritos out on the floor, and another one that's flipping the lights off and on and everyone's screaming. Yes, all of those are examples, at least in my experience, in Preacher Pals once or twice. And maybe I put them all into one story, but you understand what I'm saying. There are days when you're serving the Lord and it feels like, did we accomplish anything? Was my labor in vain today? We have our ideas of what the fruit of our labor should look like, and sometimes we want it to happen really quickly. But indeed, that's not always the case. And even when we can't see the fruit of our labor, even when it takes 7 years to see a convert, your labor is never in vain because the gospel, the resurrection, is true. You know, you might feel like your job is monotonous or meaningless. You know, you faithfully get up day after day to go to work, to provide for your family, and over time, you get tired and worn out. It seems like I just go to work to pay the bills, to go back to work, to pay more bills, to go back to work, to pay the bills. This feels meaningless. You may have spent your entire life giving everything for your children, providing for them, teaching them who Christ is in a day in, day out situations. You're faithful to bring them to church every week. And then there comes a day when your child goes wayward and they end up on a path that is completely contrary to everything you've ever taught them. your heart breaks in the evening as you pray for them, knowing that they're not with you any longer, knowing that they have strayed from the Lord. Questions like, you know, where did we go wrong? You know, what happened? It begins to fill our minds, and our efforts feel meaningless. Were my efforts to raise my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, was that all for nothing? Can I encourage you tonight? Your efforts are not in vain. In every situation. Now let me tell you why. And it's not just because the Apostle Paul said so. Your efforts are not in vain. And I know this is going to shock you tonight, but your efforts are not in vain. Why? Because death has been defeated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Death is not the end. What we have and we see in this life, it's not the end. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, yes, this is all we have. Our labor is in vain and our feelings are justified. But thanks be to God that Christ has risen from the dead, that he has defeated death. Christ indeed has risen. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Our reward is not here on earth, in the here and now, but it is at the resurrection of the just. Luke 14, 13 through 14 says this. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Beloved, our reward is in heaven. Our reward is eternal. Again, it took William Carey 7 years to see his first convert, but we're not even guaranteed to see that. We could be like the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, who were told to go preach to a people that would never listen to them. Their labor was not in vain, nor is ours. We have Christ, and that is more than enough. We forget that Christ is more than enough when we forget the gospel, but indeed, he is enough. We are to be steadfast and immovable, not wavering from the glorious realities of the gospel. That's why we must be reminded of the resurrection. That's why one of the most important things that we should do as a Christian every day is to preach the gospel to ourselves. If we don't preach the gospel to ourselves daily, we will go wayward from that hope, and our hope will be in other things. That is how we remain steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, remembering the resurrection. That is how we don't fall into the trap of feeling like our efforts are meaningless. Even at the end of a day of preacher pals, where it feels like all you did was feed everybody, we do some coloring pages, and then kept everyone from hurting each other. Your efforts are not in vain. We may feel that way, but our feelings deceive us. We know our work and efforts for the glory of the Lord are never, ever, ever, ever in vain, because we know that Christ has raised from the dead. And one day, we are going to be raised again like Christ. And there, we will receive our reward. What a glorious, glorious, glorious day that will be. As our last point of application tonight, the empty tomb, it guarantees that our labor is not in vain. Our reward is eternal. It's not in the here and now. It has been a wonderful Lord's Day, has it not? I pray that this word has been encouraging to you. I know, at the very least, it has been encouraging to me. If no one else needed this word, I've desperately needed it myself. We need this encouragement as we abound in service to the Lord. The next time that you are tempted to think that your service to the Lord is meaningless, the next time you're tempted to say, maybe I should just quit, maybe I should stop, remember 1 Corinthians 15:58. Again, let me remind you just one last time. Christ has risen and death has been defeated. Don't shift your hope from the gospel. Abound in the work of the Lord because your labor is not in vain. Our reward will be when Christ returns or he calls us home. Our reward is Christ himself. And knowing Christ is more than enough. Let's pray. Father, forgive us when we lose sight of the gospel, Lord. When the gospel becomes watered down to us, Lord, when we forget the gospel. Lord, help us to keep that at the front of our minds daily, Lord, that you indeed did defeat death. You did pay our sin debt. Lord, we had no dog in the fight, and yet you still chose to love us. We may not understand why, but we are so thankful, Lord, that you chose to love us. Lord, we know that the resurrection is true, and I pray that, Lord, you keep that in the front of our hearts and minds through this week. Lord, please help us not to forget what seems, what is the height of, Lord, what we believe. It is of first importance, as Paul said. Help us to remember the resurrection. Help us to remember, as Kylan preached this morning, about the love that you had for us. Lord, I just ask that, Lord, we be encouraged by your word tonight. Lord, our hope is sure, Lord. It does not matter what comes our way, what trials life bring to us. Lord, in service to you and for your glory, we know that the truth of your scriptures say that our efforts are not in vain. Lord, help us to be steadfast and immovable. Again, not shying from the gospel. Lord, help us to rely on you to do that, because without you, we can't. God, we thank you for the service tonight, and we love you so much. In your name we pray.